Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 13, we finished with verses 1 through 6. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom starts with chapter 13, verses 7 through 25 today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, today we begin the last section of Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll start at verse 7, go right on through the end of the chapter, and complete this wonderful book, probably one of the most edifying books for me personally as a pastor, just instructive, doctrinal. I have thoroughly, personally enjoyed the study of this book, as well as I have any book of the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it's good, but some just seem to do something for you that God needed to do in us, and this one seems to do it for me, and I hope it's been a blessing for you as well. In saying that, I also like to say we like to hear from our listeners, because sometimes we share your prayer requests. We sometimes share your comments and things of that nature with our church people on Wednesday nights. And you say, well, what's the reason for that? Well, our church, basically, Central Baptist Church of Ocala, we're not a group of rich people, but we're fully financing this entire radio operation, internet operation, doing so by the grace of God, especially in these tough economic times. It's only been the supply of God. But I want to see people that have been faithful in their giving to see some of the fruits of that labor. And I don't use your name when I share those things in the church service, when we're going through our prayer time and our time of taking an offering for the Lamp and Light. But I do like to share the blessings as well as some of the criticisms. I've even shared criticisms with our people so that they know that it's not only has to do with all the positive things, and they know that the ministry is being effective. And it helps us to know that as you write us and let us hear from you. We enjoy postcards, emails, letters, what have you. Write us. We want to hear from you. Now, as we go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, I hope that you have your pencil and paper ready and a good King James Bible, as we'll be hitting some word studies here as we go along, and I trust that you will be ready to help us out at this time by listening, praying, and taking good notes. All right, now as we start here, we've seen instruction on relationships in verses 1 through 6. Verses 7 through 17 is the longest paragraph of this chapter, and it's going to look at instruction on duty. Now we start off with verse 7. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Now, the word rule there in verse 7, he says, "Remember them that have the rule over you." Warren Wiersbe states that the phrase "have the rule" has the idea of to lead. The pastor is to be the spiritual leader of the church. Putting that in modern terms, the pastor is the worship leader of the church. Now, that kind of goes against the modern philosophy, does it not? No. The music director is the worship leader of the church. No. When you're studying and teaching the Word of God, you're worshiping God. That is true worship. And my friend, the pastor is to expound the Word of God to his people. And in that sense, he becomes the worship leader as you unite your hearts together to hear God's word. Understand this. The church services are not for entertainment, psychological counsel, nor are they to be a pep rally. Instead, they are to seriously preach and teach the word and praise the Lord for who he is. Now, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, I just don't like those negative preachers. Well, that's what happened with Jesus. Jesus said they hated him because he testified that their works were evil, and so they hated him. John the Baptist was beheaded because preaching against the sin of Herod's wife. We find that Stephen was stoned to death after he preached against the sins of those people that were present. And that has been true down through the ages. When people preach God's word and when they preach at the leading of the Lord, because God's a holy God, he's got to lead those people from their sin first. And if they won't follow that lead from their sin, they get angry at those who would try to direct them from it. They get angry at those who would even call it sin. I think religious rock music is sin because our God is holy and he is to be reverenced. It's not just a style with me. It's not a preference with me. It's not talking about that. It's talking about something that is unholy. Its associations are unholy. Rock music was termed rock music by a Cleveland DJ that was showing that it is something of sexual connotation, not the words, the music itself. And my friend, that's not of a holy God. And so I call it religious rock music. Now, I know they call it contemporary Christian music, but religious rock music is what it is, and it is sin. And you can write me letters on that, but I'm not going to apologize for telling the truth in this matter. Sin is sin, regardless of how people like it or do not like it. Now, again, the word must be preached. It must be taught. The Lord must be praised for who he is in his person. He's holy. He's altogether righteous. He's pure. Yes, he's love. He's full of grace and mercy. But he never compromises justness, holiness, righteousness in order to have love, grace, and mercy. Never does he compromise it. I look at our church. We have a good, what I call a good youth program. And a church can have a good youth program, a good singles ministry, a good senior citizens ministry. But those things are not the consideration at all in selecting a church. The main criteria is doctrinal. Do they preach and teach the word? Secondly, do they conduct the service in a holy and reverent way? Do they follow 2 Timothy 3:15-16 by preaching doctrine, reproof for the sins and the weights, correction and instruction in righteousness, that is, obedience to the Lord's commands? And of course, underneath all of that, when selecting church, you need to have that criteria, and then you need to pray and make sure that's where God wants you. Now, in the Greek, this verse that we're reading here, verse 7, is an imperative command. Don't take it lightly. Now, Warren Wiersbe was right when he mentioned leadership. But in full, it is the idea of authoritative leadership within the local church. He says there, remember them. That is entrusting you with a duty to that spiritual leader. The idea then is to observe the admonitions of those who have the rule over you. Praying for them seems to be also involved in remembering them. And he goes on to say, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Now, a qualifier or identifier of those who have the rule is this: they have spoken unto you the word of God. Did you get that? They have spoken unto you the word of God. Preaching should always be centered in the word of God. Preaching and teaching should not be reading a verse, closing the Bible, then giving 30 minutes or more of philosophy. Our goal as preachers should be to speak the truth in love, as Ephesians 4:15 states, and that is our motto at Central Baptist Church. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 11, 28 through 30. And there stood one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, they delivered it to the elders, that is, the pastors, who had directed the deacons in the distribution of it. You would also deduce that from Acts chapter 6, when the pastors had them ordain 7 men full of the faith and the Holy Ghost that would tend to that business, but they would be under the direction, of course, of those pastors. And so in Acts chapter 11, when they bring the money, the collection that was taken, they brought it first to the pastors, who would then direct it from there through these deacons and others in the distribution of these funds. Dr. David Sorensen, a Baptist Bible scholar and author, states, "This clearly alludes to spiritual leadership in the church, and specifically those who preach the word. What clearly is implied is that a pastor holds a position of authority in the church. We are under an imperative of God, to be mindful of such." Well, Dr. Sorensen is right. And that's why the offering was brought to the church in Jerusalem, was brought to the elders, to the pastors. And then they determine. Now, it's not that the pastors go out and spend the money, but they direct it. They direct. And that's why in a church, the pastor should be made aware of all monies and should know how they are going, and he should have that authority to stop payment or to direct payments. And we're talking about ministry now. I've heard of pastors that go out and buy them expensive $70,000, $80,000 cars, buy a $400,000 or $500,000 home. Okay, that's not right. They're not directing that right. Now they're looking at their personal life instead of the ministry. And we're talking about from the ministry of the local church. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.